This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Is that it?
Oh, that's somebody told me.
So that's somebody told me.
Okay. Yeah.
How did you get that?
Ducking and fucking. You had a boyfriend. It looked like a girlfriend. That I had in February of last year.
No, it's a different one.
Nice.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
I took a sip of water at the wrong time. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Punch Up the Jam.
He's Demi Tijuibe.
She's Miel Bredo.
And we're here to try to take a cool song.
Oh, are we taking calls?
I was trying to say cool. And
call it number one.
Said it wrong. Cool song. Or maybe it's a bad song. You don't know yet. We haven't said.
I mean, yeah. You decided. You saw the title.
You know, it'll break your bias here. This is a safe space. And then we're going to try to make it better.
Yes, we're going to punch it up, if you will.
But after we talk about it, and we're going to talk about it with somebody that's sitting right here, really nice and quiet.
I thought it was like that thing at the beginning of a lot of podcasts where you don't talk until they say your name and acknowledge you.
You can if you want. You don't have to. But we can acknowledge you right now.
Oh!
Hey.
You know him as our friend, as a comic, and as an actor with really kind eyes, Bam Bazuna.
What up, what up, what up? I really like this drop.
Right?
Yeah.
It's great.
What song? Is this a Ludacris song?
This is Bring 'Em Out by T.I.
Oh, T.I. Okay.
Close.
But isn't that Jay-Z saying it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's confusing.
It's a very... He sampled another person for the chorus of the song. It's brilliant.
I think Jay-Z right now is in... His verse in it is fine, but the hook for this song that just came out is, I think, one of the worst hooks in history.
Uh-oh.
It's for the... It's the one where it's like, I took the top off the Maybach. I took the top off the Maybach. And they just repeat it a shitload of times. It's just Future saying it. It's the worst.
I took the top off the Maybach. I took the top off the Maybach.
This might be a stupid question.
I took the top off the Maybach.
Is a Maybach like a kitchen appliance?
That would be great. It's like a blender.
I can't tell if you're joking right now. It's a car.
It's a car.
Yeah. I was joking for sure.
It's a colloquial way of saying like who took the cookie out the cookie jar. You know, the Maybach is
a convertible.
I took the top off the oven.
I don't know. Maybe he's like doing some repairs.
I think you're thinking of Maytag.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I took the top off the fridge.
See, now that's a metaphor. I'd be like, what is it? Mean.
That's baller status. I don't care if my kitchen is cold.
It's like a super nice car, like a Rolls Royce type, like very expensive, only rappers have.
Cool. Why would you buy a nice car and then mess it up?
Because they're rich and they can.
They have
That's
so much
the point
money.
It's literally the whole point of the video.
I was more on board when I thought we were talking about a fridge, man. This is confusing.
I mean,
now
this is making me think of that lyric. Do you think Future's trying to be deep with that lyric where he's like, I am using the wealth that I have made to do whatever I want with it?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think it's literally just like, I'm so rich, I bought an expensive car and then fucked it up even more.
I'm like very impressed with your analyzing, because that's exactly what we need to do right now to a different fucking
bam,
song.
Bam, bam.
Okay, what do you guys know about this song? Binium, you exposed pre-intro that you didn't know this song, or you couldn't pick it out of a lineup.
I didn't know the band, but I know if I heard this song, I would be like, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah. But if there was like The Killers, and there was like some other group like that,
let's say, I don't know, Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah, I'd be like, I don't
know. Just making up a band.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting to me as an indie kid.
I've heard of Franz Ferdinand.
No,
I've heard of him. You sound like me talking about Maybachs. Well, it's The Killers. They're a Las Vegas band.
Yeah, you know this song.
It's from, do you guys know when this actually came out?
2004.
Jealousy, it turns into...
Yeah, you know this song. This is definitely The Killers' most famous song.
It, for sure. It actually came out in 2003, didn't do super well, so they re-released it, and then 2004, it popped the fuck off. It's shocking to me that I just assumed this was like well-known by every person alive. In the UK, it's one of the most 15 downloaded rock tracks ever.
Wow.
I feel like... For white people, this is like when Hey Ma comes on.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yes, we're all, like, everyone's going off. Because Mr. Brightside, you do, 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 do. Everyone's like,
It's white people's Hey Ma.
Sure.
It's white people's
Hey
Ma.
God, that is exactly what it is.
Is the video similar too?
We did two videos. Rolling Stone in 2010 said it was the 48th best song of the 21st century.
I believe that.
You think that's true? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, 21st century just means after 2000.
I'm pretty sure, but don't fact check me.
They said this in 2010?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
In the past 10 years, yeah.
48 songs?
From 10 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a fucking great. Well, I don't
it wasn't.
Know
it wasn't a good time for rap music. The mid 2000s.
Oh, you know? No, there was like real produced bands.
Wasn't Back That Ass Up in the 2000s? Well, it's probably one of the 48.
It was a time for like party hip hop where it was like there was a lot of chingies. There was a lot of
we had so many chingies. Lot of,
one here comes the two to the three to the four.
Oh, we had Jaquan.
Like yeah.
City High. Lest us
that's
forget.
One of him. See,
what would you do if your man was at home?
Oh, son, I know that.
Son, not your man. Very different song, but it was your man.
It's like, oh, don't worry about it.
I gotta make money for my husband.
Yeah, it's like all those songs were really catchy, but they weren't like top 50 songs of the, you know. Yeah. Like you would never put like that one song was like, take your tail feather. Oh.
All right, like, maybe good point.
I also understand it because I bet they picked singles. Like they're not gonna go like this song on this album, which everyone knows the album is actually very good.
Yeah, but in my opinion, like all of In Rainbow should be on that list.
Sure, but that's 12 songs.
True. So okay, your point is there wasn't a lot to choose from. Fair enough. Maybe it makes sense.
Yeah.
And to be clear, I like this song, but I do like it less after looking at the lyrics.
I've always thought that this song was good, but every other Killers song on this album alone is better.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, what's your favorite Killer song from this record?
From this record, it's probably Changed My Mind.
Wow, okay, I don't know that.
I'm a huge Killers fan. They were my first concert ever.
Wait, I thought... Okay, this is just shocking information
really?
To receive on air.
You know that they were my first...
Everyone has to say their first concert. Go.
No.
You have to say
I'll
it.
Say it. Good Charlotte.
Okay. Yeah, fuck, five times. So that was my first five concerts.
Your first five concerts is Good Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
No, you say it.
Yeah, that's right.
If it was, I mean, how bad could it be?
I just said the Killers.
It was, bad. It was real
like
bad.
Backstreet Boys. And
no, say. I'm actually telling the truth. It was Good Charlotte five times.
Oh, it really was.
I know
okay.
It sounds like I'm kidding.
Mine was Jack Johnson. So,
ooh, that's pretty bad.
No
joke. Pretty bad.
Jack Johnson was technically my first because I saw him in a mall at like, and it wasn't like it was like an accident. Like we were shopping, and then they were like, "We have a concert coming on. It's Jack Johnson." So I just stayed and watched it
in a
like,
mall.
Yeah. Where? What state is this?
This was. Why'd I worry about the state? Texas.
This is Texas, like Austin, I guess? Or
no, Plano.
Wow, I wonder, what year?
I don't... One Tree Hill was on. That's all I remember because I think it was a One Tree Hill time.
So One Tree Hill is how we mark time.
Was this before Jack Johnson was really a thing?
Like, I don't think so.
No, he would have been
too
young.
No, there was a huge crowd.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's a big deal that he was
It was
there.
Like...
Okay.
They just like malls in Texas.
We love malls.
I was just like, why would Jack Johnson play a mall? Like, what's he getting out of
Did
this?
Did he wear shoes is my question.
I can't remember.
When I saw him, he was wearing shoes,
nah,
and he played
man.
Bubbly Toes and
oh,
Rodeo
you mean Bubble
Clown,
Toes?
Bubble Toes, and...
it's so simple and something that nobody... How are we all so into Jack Johnson, only to 2 years later be like, what the fuck was that?
I never had a what the fuck. I still think he's
what?
Great.
I was never into Jack Johnson.
He's great. He's
well,
great
you went to
player.
His concert, man.
Okay.
Fuck, Jesus Christ. Well, I feel a little betrayed that we've been friends for how many years and I never knew Killers were such a big deal to you.
I definitely have told you before.
Maybe true. I also have a very bad memory.
That's also true.
So, little fun fact about this tune. James Blunt. You guys know him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Blunt Boys.
Blunt Boys, sure. I think that's a different thing, but okay.
Well, it's what I call my Blunt Nation, as we're known, the fan club.
Again, I think that might be, you might be in a nation that isn't idolizing James Blunt.
Yeah, they have to like put parentheses like, not affiliated with marijuana. We love Blunt, but not that
not
kind.
Not Blunt
Zoo. Yeah, yeah.
He said that Mr. Brightside is his number one favorite song of all time. All
right.
It's
what
also
a pick.
One of the first songs the Killers ever wrote. Yeah. As a band. And the last thing I'll say, and this is probably going to inform a little bit of the lyrics as we go through it, is that it was a reference mix made in just a half an hour.
Wow.
And they remixed it a couple times to try to like produce it better, and they just kept being like, nah, first one's better.
That is so funny.
And you know what? You know what's interesting about the James Blunt fact is that those guys are probably the same age as him, and it's just weird that your favorite song ever is made by someone your same age.
Yeah.
Wait, you know? Really? I don't think that's weird. My favorite comics are like my age.
I mean, it's great. It shows that he's letting go of his ego, because I think a lot of people would be like, no, it's something old, like, you know, Michael Jackson.
Cool.
Like,
yeah.
Someone I could never straight up compare myself to, because they're 50 years, whatever, older than me.
It does feel years, yeah. sort of weird to like idolize someone that's essentially a peer. If he wasn't making music, I would get him being like, yeah, that's my favorite. But for him to also be making music and being like, these guys are my number one, I'm like, what?
Well, do we know for a fact that James Blunt is still making music?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, he's still on tour and stuff.
How do you know that?
Because I know this comedian who's tweets about him all the time. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like with that, Demi, you wanted to add something?
Oh, yes. So this is off the album Hot Fuss.
Mm-hmm. Their first album.
Their first album, 2004, was nominated for a Grammy, lost to American Idiot, rightfully so. And this album, so there are three songs on this album. I think Midnight Show, Leave the Bourbon on the Shelf, and Jenny Was a Friend of Mine. And together they tell a story about a girl named Jenny that gets murdered by the protagonist of the album, essentially.
That's pretty aggressive.
Isn't it? So,
well, whose side are you supposed to be on in this issue?
It's not really a side. It's just sort of like them telling a story. Like, we went to the Midnight Show, and then, like, a fight breaks out, and then Jenny dies in the third song. Those three songs are the only ones that are acknowledged by the Killers to have, like, a narrative between them. Mm-hmm. At first, it was a theory. There is another theory that this entire album is actually about a gay man who falls in love with Jenny's boyfriend named Andy. And Andy kills Jenny because she realizes that they're having like an affair. And
Where did you read this, man? Were you on fucking WordPress or something?
No, this is like a legitimate theory and it makes complete sense because there is a song on this album called Andy, You're a Star that is 100% about the narrator falling in love with the football star Andy, who is like in a relationship with this girl.
This sounds like you're crazy.
No, the thing is, we're going to go through these lyrics and it makes perfect sense. And I know it sounds.
You're giving me some real Alex Jones vibes.
What's hilarious
right now
is that all these theories came from the Killers themselves.
By theory, I talked to Brandon Flowers.
He's just like, we don't know which one it is, but we did write the song.
It's like an Easter egg on their own record.
The thing about Andy, You're a Star, that song is like straight up true. It's 100% about a gay man falling in love with a football star. Okay. Jenny Was a Friend of Mine, that whole trilogy, also true. The gay thing throughout the album is not confirmed, but it makes complete sense. And as we go through Mr. Brightside, I'll be like, huh?
I will say,
I think you'll be convinced.
Well, I did look up a couple of interviews, and according to them, which apparently your intel maybe supersedes that, don't know, but they said that the one guy who's not Brandon Flowers, he came to him with this idea of like, I think the song's about cheating, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna roll with that. And that's all. That's it. They wrote it in half an
hour. Works completely with my theory.
Well, you think of that fully fleshed conspiracy theory song could be written in 30 minutes? I don't know, man.
When you have a narrative for an entire album, yes. You just go, cool, it's about cheating. This person cheats on that person. Great, we're done.
Well, it's not about cheating, though. It's all in his head.
When you let it just flow out of you without stopping because it's happening in your real life, it just comes out fully formed. Do you guys feel that with stuff that you like write or make when you don't think about it a lot and you just, then sometimes it's better than the things that you're like,
almost all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost always.
Nah.
Nah for you?
I'm trying to think of things where I just have like spat them out. I do feel like sometimes I'll just spit something out, people will like it more, and I'm like, but I didn't.
Yeah, where you're like, the thing I tried so hard at, you didn't fuck with, and then the one that I was just like, ugh, everyone fucks it. Yeah.
I feel like that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot.
It's because almost like you get out of your own way a little bit.
Yeah, I think that whole...
I'll never get out of my own
way. It's all about Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink.
Shut the fuck
up. I'd recommend it. You know, a lot of studies in there talking about this, so shout out.
Gucci Mane's favorite book.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, tomato, tomato. We'll see.
Sure.
Let's see if your conspiracy theory holds up as we go through
this. I think you're going to, as we go through this, you'll be like, oh, fuck.
All right, go for it, dude. Hit it. Okay, that does get me pretty hyped, I'll be honest.
Every time I hear it, I just...
I know this song. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just
fine. Gotta be down because I want it all. I love those compressed drums.
Mm-hmm.
They sound like shit.
And they have like a pretty serious telephone effect on that vocal.
This came out
too.
2003?
Yeah.
Four. Or 2000,
okay.
Yeah. It was a time where like every rock band was doing that thing where they were insecure about their voice, so they put it through that radio filter.
Yeah, they were like, I don't want to try it too hard.
Yeah.
Like, can we just talk about these lyrics for a second? Coming out of my cage.
Well, that does sound like a possible gay reference.
Oh, a metaphorical cage coming out of, well, I think usually we call it a closet, but you know, I'm not trying to like word shame somebody.
You can't come out of a cage and say you're gay. It has to be a closet or you're not gay.
That's true, because the cage is see-through. It's like, no, we see.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Where do you come out of?
Yeah, yeah.
The cage part throws me off every time because I keep thinking he's like in a wrestling match and he's like, I just finished my big match.
Oh, yeah, cage match.
Come out of the cage, brother.
Yeah, right.
I've been doing fine.
And then gotta be down because I want it all. I don't know what that means.
Okay, conspiracy reading. Uh-huh. He's gotta stay down, as in not out, because he wants the life.
Or gunfight. He doesn't want to die.
Yes.
Hit the floor.
The do-do-do-do-do-do-do is so good, but I feel like it's just something I've heard so much now that I don't like it anymore.
Oh, or
it
really?
Just like, it clicks in my head and I'm like, oh, it's this song.
I kind of never have gotten tired of it.
I think, so I heard this song first before hearing any other Killer song. And I was like, oh, I feel like I still remember where I was when I hear it. I was in my parents' car and it came in on the radio and I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't know what the lyrics were.
You just fucking froth at the mouth and keeled over.
No. And then I later got into the Killers and I listened to their entire album. And I was like, this owns. And then I heard that song and I was like, oh, it's the radio one, whatever.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't like it because it was too popular?
Not because it was too popular. I just don't like. Like, even now, I'm just like, eh.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to this song in probably 6 years, and hearing it now, it still feels fresh to me because I haven't listened to it in so long. So I still like it.
I do think that it's really interesting, like, musically, what they did here. Like, they just were like, here's a little riff, here's drums, here's music. Like, they just, the vocal came in immediately. They didn't, like, prep you at all. They were like, we're diving right in. It was like, no foreplay. They just gave me it. Right at the top. And that cool EQ thing going on. I'm like, yeah, okay. You sound like I should take you seriously.
That's the other reading of this song. Words that just sound well together.
Yeah.
And vaguely could mean anything.
That is most music in the 2000s.
Oh, man, you cut it right as they started to take
that
EQ
to.
Pass
I always
off.
Got to. I do love, like, in any song from this era, when the EQ comes off and they're like, fuck that, I'm going no filter on this one.
Yeah,
it's like they just came out from under the water.
Yeah, it's like every Stroke song.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the tunes were doing this. It was very cool.
I do like his intensity getting higher and higher as if, because this is a great performance, just vocally, of being like, it was only a kiss. It was only a kiss. You know, like a very like Costanza-like moment that he's having.
If you read the song about him talking about the guy, it makes perfect sense to me.
In the conspiracy version of this, at this point, is he talking to his girlfriend about a guy that he kissed?
I don't think he's talking to anyone. He's just like talking like a narrator.
Oh, it's like a Bohemian Rhapsody situation?
Sure.
Well, I guess that's a little bit actually at the mom, so that was not a good example.
Yeah.
He literally says mama like 3 times.
Mama. I never thought about where he is in that song.
There's so many songs where I'm just like, well, let me place this in a context. And then I'm like, oh, this all falls apart.
Yeah.
No, I think in this song, he's standing right outside of a human-sized birdcage. That's how I've taken it. He's like, he got some weird kinks and he sleeps in there.
He just got out of his cage. Yeah. Do you think he kissed someone through the cage?
Oh, maybe like that
Kiss
Sia
Me Through
video.
The Cage.
It's like the Elastic Heart video, real wide, great cage.
Oh, yeah.
I took the door off the birdcage. I took the door off the birdcage.
I took the door off the birdcage.
Yeah, probably. I don't know, because everything so far kind of is like related except for that cage line. I still don't know what the fuck to make of that.
I like the like slowly increasing cymbals, but also because it feels like this beginning part is him telling a story, and then he's like, all right, let's flash back. And this is the...
Oh, so do you think it's a frame story? That first little section was, like, post all this happening?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm just... That's what it feels like now. And it feels like he's just like, all right, let me tell you all a story.
Yeah. It does.
Back to the past.
It does feel like that.
And then, like, out of the filter is him like, okay, now we're in the past.
Interesting. Yeah. It's like the Days of Futures Past, the X-Men classic.
It's a lot like that.
Wow, a lot happened here.
Okay. I feel like that line is why this song became famous.
Wait,
and she's touching his chest now?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, at one point, it's like he got too drunk and then she went home with someone else. Is that what it sounds like?
It's now I'm falling asleep. She's calling a cab. He's smoking. Then they bond over smoking and he's going to bed, but they are continuing their night.
Well, you're missing the crucial part here, and it's all in my head. None of this is happening. He's just a paranoid dude.
He thinks that's what's happening.
Yeah, he literally, his girlfriend's out without him, and he's convinced she's cheating. He's just creating a narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I think, is, like, in my opinion, with a fact, that is what this song's about. Just about a paranoid dude who's, like, can't let his girlfriend, like, exist as a solo person because he's so insecure.
That's a very good reading.
Thanks. You know? Maybe that's the cage. Maybe he came out of his insecurity cage.
Whoa, he came out of his toxic masculinity cage.
Yeah, that's what it is, dude. Whoa. It is a framed story. And now after a lot of therapy, he's reflecting on it and being like, I blew that up because I couldn't let her live, man. I don't know, if you want to snap, feel
free. But I want to hear, you look like you have something to say.
This entire perspective, he's talking about the guy. He does not say my girlfriend. He does not say my boyfriend.
Yeah. She, though, she's...
What does she mean to him?
So she could mean a guy?
Well, no, I'm saying she... He doesn't say she is in connection... He doesn't say the connection between him and she. We just assume that he's jealous because the guy is taking the girl, not because the girl is taking the guy.
Well, I also think that kind of requires you to apply, like, hetero relationship standards onto homosexual relationships that I'm not sure translate one-to-one.
I'm saying that if this song is from the perspective of a guy who is upset because the guy that he likes is about to hook up with someone else, regardless of gender.
And in your theory, it's his girlfriend?
No, I'm saying that in this theory, he loves this guy, Andy, who is going off to hook up with this girl and is upset about it because he's just hooking up with someone else. And in the song, Andy, You're a Star, there is a line where he says something like, see you in a car with a girl, promise me she's not your world.
I don't know. And I also don't feel like this song translates as well because you don't fucking call cabs, man. Have you ever called a cab in your life?
That's the thing.
Well,
is
in
like,
2003.
This song, you were still hailing.
This song is so out of touch. I mean, I really can't get in the song that doesn't use Uber in it.
I know.
And she's calling a Lyft while he's having a smoke and she's taking his cig.
No,
people are smoking e-cigs now, dude. I mean,
and she's vaping his cig.
She's vaping his cig.
Really easy to punch this up, honestly.
Damn, all right, we did it.
So let's just skip to that part.
I feel like the chest line is what stuck so much to me, and I feel like all the other kids in my like school were all about that line, just because it's like, he meant to say dick, but because it rhymes, but it doesn't, that's not where he
went.
Wait,
what? That's what you thought about it?
Because
sick. And my stomach is sick, and it's all in my head.
But
and
she's touching his chest now.
Chest is the next rhyme for dress.
No, well, yeah, that's what. But I'm saying, like, the joke there is you think he's going to say dick.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what.
Oh, I've that, never picked that up before.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it makes sense. Checks out. Checks out.
And she's touching his chest
now. Like, it's like a Bo Burnham lyric where he does that all the time, where he's
switches
like,
out.
My whole family thinks I'm gay. Maybe it's because the fact that I love. And he says something that doesn't rhyme with it, but it seems like he's going to say men. Like, that whole thing.
Whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. It's perfect. You know, I remember his lyrics. Okay, go. Yeah. Now on to the next one.
Yeah, I don't think touching his... I think touching his chest feels really sexual to me. I wasn't ever expecting him to say dick.
Oh, I mean, it is definitely sexual, but I think they set up the rhyme scheme of, like, smoke, cab, something, drag, bed, sick... chest just for that dick joke.
Oh, okay.
And then they go to chest now.
So wait, one more question. I'm not a smoker, never have been, humble brag. But is it a thing with between smokers that it's like sexy to share a cigarette?
I think it's just a thing that smoking is sometimes seen as a sexy thing or like cool.
What the hell, killers? Why are you promoting tobacco?
You haven't seen all those ads that are just like, blow smoke in her face and she'll follow you anyway.
Yeah, but it's also just like a thing like James Dean smoking and, you know. It's a whole sexy man thing.
I want to go back to what Demi just said. Have I ever seen an ad in which a man blows smoke in a woman's face and says she'll follow you anywhere?
I think it was in Mad Men.
Yeah, which is like in the 60s. This song's on 20.
Well, have you seen the Lemon Volkswagen ad?
No.
Another, I'm just saying, like, there are famous ads that just exist to show a what's it.
If
just
a dude puts smoke in my face. Okay, wait. Can I tell a quick sidebar? Because this is handily the craziest cigarette story I've ever heard.
Tell
I was
it.
At a bar hanging out with my friend who is a smoker, and she wanted to stand in, like, the smoking patio area, and she was very drunk. I was less drunk. She befriended a couple of guys, like a gay couple, not like a, you know, trying to fuck or anything. And we're talking to them, and they're just, like, gabbing away, just hitting it off. And I'm kind of standing there like, I would love to get out of this fucking smoke cocoon because this feels horrible on my lungs. And then, like, we're going to say goodbye, and I guess she's, like, best friends with him now, so she's on this, like, real intimate hug, and she's holding her cigarette as she's hugging, and then she goes to pull away, she, like, kind of pauses for a minute, and unbeknownst to her, her lit cigarette end is going in right into the other dude's face.
Is he making any noise?
No, because he's shit-faced, so he couldn't feel it for, like, 3-4 seconds.
I wonder what you would do in that, because it's not like a car crash where you just, like, exchange my insurance info and...
I would,
like,
just apologize profusely.
And then hope they don't sue you?
Yeah, I guess hope they don't sue you. Be
what
like...
What do you mean sue you for?
Like, I mean, I don't know.
It's a huge dick move.
Would, like, you have to get, like, plastics?
I don't know. Can you fix, like, cigarette burns on your face?
I think it's just the same as any other burn. Like, it'll heal.
Yeah.
I got burn scars everywhere.
Well, yeah, anything leaves a scar, but
it depends on the severity of it. It probably would just end up looking like a pockmark.
Yeah. I bet you. I wonder how often this happens to smokers that, like, hang out in those crowded cigarette patios.
Probably not ever.
Because, like, I feel like anytime you go to a bar, you're just, like, in the splash zone. You know what I mean? Like, drunk people just spill drinks on you. It just happens. Like, don't wear anything you like to a bar.
But I don't think, like, smokers don't get progressively less, like, more fucked up over the night.
But they smoke more as they get more drunk.
Yeah, but they don't get more fucked up from the smoking.
I don't know. I don't smoke, so I don't
also
know.
The cigarette usually stays in front of your face, I feel, so I don't think the burning thing happens often.
You don't put a lit cigarette behind
I
your
think,
ear?
Well, if you're if you're, like, super drunk and smoking, some stumbling situations could lead to a burn
situation. You steer somebody's Chanel bag, what do?
But I feel like you gotta hold it to burn.
Oh, like, you would be, like...
Even though it's just a touch? A touch feels like it would burn.
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's gotta, like, probably got to be there for a second.
You ever sit in front of a fire and, like, an ember shoots out and lands on you? It hurts immediately.
But then you can kind of put your finger through flames and it's okay.
How does fire work? Hey, wait, here's another stupid question. Can you hotbox cigarette smoke in the same way you can weed smoke?
No.
No. So you can't get high from cigarette smoke. Well, I don't know. Do you get high from cigarettes?
No.
I've never smoked a cigarette.
You get a buzz, I think, right?
Yeah.
You get a nicotine buzz.
So
I've never smoked either.
You never smoked a cigarette?
No.
Dude, you and me, you're the only person I've ever met that's never done it also.
Straight edge, bro.
Maybe you could, like, set a bunch of tobacco on fire, but then it's like...
You can't huff it? You can't be like...
I mean,
I don't think
if you're
so.
In a car and the doors are closed and one person's smoking... Will the other people, if they
yeah,
like
will
smoking,
they
will
high?
They be like, yeah, this smells good.
Yeah,
I'm into
give me that.
Yeah.
I don't, the smell of cigarettes are easily the worst thing about cigarettes, I feel
know.
Like. But
I think people that like cigarettes like it.
I thought so too.
I don't know.
I don't know.
How else would they be around it all the time?
Well, they're addicted.
I guess. Yeah.
I have no clue. I don't think you can hotbox a car with cigarettes, but if anyone out there has hotboxed a car with a cigarette, first of all, gross.
Yeah.
Second of all, let us know.
I guess at the end, it's like, instead of being like, yo, we're all high now, they're all like, oh, my addiction has been satiated.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, we all got headaches. And we just want more cigarettes.
Yeah. Wow.
The instrumentation here
is bang
great.
So fucking hard, dude.
It's unrelenting.
This is the strongest piece of evidence that makes the interpretation, the gay interpretation, true, I think, is because it goes, now he takes off her dress, now letting me go, which is insinuating that the man is letting him go.
Mm.
Because it's
I thought it was let me go.
It says, well,
it says
unless
letting
me go. Unless these lyrics are wrong, it says now letting me go.
Yeah, I don't know.
On Google Lyrics.
Could be either one.
Letting me go.
It doesn't make a difference either way.
If it's let me go, then he's making an order. But if it's letting me go, he's describing the action the dude's taking.
I always read it when I read it as a song about the girl. I read it as like let me go, as in like I don't want that. Like this is a painful thought. Please stop.
Huh. I thought it was like, yeah, like, well, that's, I think my interpretation of this whole song is that it's all in his head. So he's like, he's talking to his own brain, being like, ah, stop thinking this fucking shit. This is getting too graphic. It's getting too real.
It just seems like if it's now he takes off her dress now, letting me go, because he described he in the line previous,
true, true.
That it's about him, that he's taking off
you
her dress and
point.
Also letting the singer of the song go.
Mm.
This is a solid point.
I think in my head, the only part that's in his head is the touching his dick.
No one said dick.
But I'm the touching his chest then.
Also, quick question. Every time I've hooked up with a man, he has not taken off my dress. He'll take off a shirt, but if I'm wearing anything more complicated than a shirt, I'm on my own.
Sleep with better men.
You guys take off dresses? Think about it. Have you taken off a woman's dress when you're hooking up
for the first time? I think how it works is like you start to help them and then they might, it's like a combined activity.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like an alley-oop situation, but she's the one dunking. You know what I mean?
Depends on the dress. If it's like, if we're dealing with a complicated scenario, then it's like,
Have you ever seen a dress that isn't complicated?
Yeah, there's some dresses that just slide right on.
Like a tube dress?
I guess if it's like a loose dress, a sundress, that can be easily taken off like a shirt.
Just lift it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I feel like in my experience, it's like they'll do a tug that's like, how? And you're like, all right, but if it's mommy like, will take care of this.
I haven't been in a situation where it was like Oscar dress type scenario. I don't know what that's like.
No, but like so many dresses are like strappy or they have a zippered part or like buttons. And like in my experience, men don't fuck with any kind of like closure devices.
We don't know how to use buttons, zippers, none of that.
Literally. Now we just figured out how a light switch works.
Seriously.
I mean, I believe it. I know you're kidding, but in my experience, it feels a little
true. I only fuck with Velcro, okay?
I can't believe you cut it off there.
I have to.
I know you do, but God, that music was just taking me away.
Yeah, I mean, there's another reading of this as him as a kind of peeping Tom.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I feel that for sure.
Because he's like,
now I'm falling asleep, and they're finally like, oh, peeping Tom's gone. Let's
do this. Or
he's in the tree. He's dozing off.
I think I have a revolutionary concept.
Yeah,
roommate.
Oh, roommate. Shit. That's
why does
he's a pervy roommate. And he's like, I know that he or she is about to bring somebody home and I'm trying to sleep, but I kind of want to watch, but I can't look.
It's killing me that they're fucking while I'm asleep.
Cause he's like big time into voyeurism. Mm.
Even if it's happening in his head. I mean, the only reading of this in his head is that I just can't look at my imaginary version of this.
Or maybe, well, this is pre-Snapchat, so he couldn't, like, fact check if his imagination was correct.
Yeah.
He, like checks Foursquare. Where does she check in? Who are we using Foursquare? Nah. No,
the only, I think it was, like, MySpace. I think. This may have been before that. MySpace is, like, 2005, really.
That's when I was on it.
No, it was before, because...
LiveJournal, dude.
Facebook was 2004.
Maybe she posted it in a journal update from the club.
Zanga? Did you guys have Zanga?
Oh, I had Zanga.
Okay, yeah. I remember Zanga.
That's so funny.
On Zanga, you could put like what there was like certain little things of like what are you listening to now? What are you eating? Was there stuff like that?
I think so.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I had Zanga for so long, but I cannot remember anything about it now, which is a blessing.
I remember girls from my school used it a lot, and I remember looking at theirs and just remembering, like, you know how in MySpace you could be like, here's the song I'm listening to right now, and it'd play? I feel like they had that.
Oh, for sure. LiveJournal had that, too.
That's about all I can remember.
Do you guys remember? No one has remembered this except me. MySpace would have you an option to input your body type.
No.
No one remembers that.
Yes, yes. Athletic.
Thank you.
Versus bigger or skinny. Yes. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It gave me so much anxiety.
What did you put?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I think I might have typed like jelly bean or just some bullshit because I didn't want to answer.
I feel like there was like actual ones though, right?
Yo, yeah. I don't even remember if you could input your own because it gave you like 7.
I remember thinking about it for a while where I was like, well, you know, I run cross country and track, so I am athletic. Although I am lean, it's still athletic. So,
Okay, the music right now, banging. Could not be more on board with the music.
It's killing me. I'm taking control.
Do you think that this... What's your reading now for the reading you were talking
still
about?
Still the same.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's upset because the guy that he loves is crushing on this woman.
Well, what is that? I just can't look.
Same as it was before. I can't look. It's killing me.
Can't look at what? They're out. What would he be looking at?
I mean,
at?
I guess it could be a metaphor. I can't face this situation.
Face it?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. I think...
Well, even if it's a straight thing, what does that mean?
So it's his roommate.
It's
and
not.
And he really wants to jerk off to him having sex, but he's like, I can't, man. He's my roommate. That's creepy. But he really wants to.
They
like,
share
can't.
A room because they're so cheap and live in New York. And it's like one of those ones where they just put
curtain.
Up a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't look.
It's killing me because my boner is so hard.
Hard.
And I really, really want to do something about it. That's what it is, dude. We cracked it.
I hate that. I hate that so much. So the cage would just be like the sheet, and he's gotta be down.
The cage is what they call their apartment. He went out for a beer earlier, and then now he's back.
What is it started out with a kiss? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It started out with them kissing. How did it get to fucking?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you how. So she put her hand on her chest. And he took off her dress.
How it starts most times, man.
I feel like this next stanza, it's like a lot of leaps in it.
Let's hit it.
Every time I hear this, that price I pay, like the way it's off rhythm works so hard for me. It's so good.
Can we also talk about the fact that he's only once before this section changed the note he's singing? This song is one note for the first two thirds.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like da 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 da.
Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down.
Well, and the
chest now is the first time he breaks it.
Chest now. So what's he thought? Jealousy turning saints into the sea.
That's the line where I'm just like, what?
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
Maybe like saints become corrupted and that makes them like ocean people.
Maybe it's like.
They turn into merfolk.
Are saints buried at sea?
Maybe that's it.
No, I think that's Vikings.
But I think.
I was thinking Osama bin Laden, but I was like, that's the only one I know.
Wait, now you're getting somewhere
I mean, I don't. Okay. Yeah, I don't know the like genealogy or whatever of the like where this comes from, the saying, but I think it means turning someone that would be good to doing things that are bad.
Oh,
corrupting them?
Yeah, they're being corrupted.
That feels right. Turning saints into the sea.
Because the jealousy is making him do dastardly shit he would
or like
do.
Pushing a good person off a cliff into the ocean below like a lemming or something. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the next line is
swimming through sick lullabies.
Okay, kinda that like really supports my idea that he's trying to sleep while his roommate's having sex.
Swimming through sick lullabies.
So he's like
basically, I have to feel like he's having a nightmare about what they're doing.
Nah, he's going like, rock a dick, baby, in my roommate's bed.
Swimming. So, like, you're sleeping, and these night. That's what sick lullabies are like, nightmares of them.
I feel
fucking.
Like.
Night terrors. But, like, meant to sing you to sleep with demonic.
I mean,
oh, what they're doing is a sick lullaby to him.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Choking on your alibis.
But the alibi being that he's straight.
Yeah,
or that she was just out with her friends and he doesn't believe her.
Yeah, and because
where does that come from, though?
Yeah, because both those lines—the swimming through sick lullabies and the choking on your alibis—could be more about the situation as a whole. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to get through all these sweet nothings you're saying to me, but I know they're fake.
Yeah, true.
You're telling me you're doing this, but I know you're with him.
True. And when I read it, said it was supposed to be about a paranoid guy. So I feel like that is how you're supposed to read it.
It's still about a paranoid guy if it's a paranoid gay guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True. True. Can't contest that. And then...
But it's just the price I pay.
Man, that guy gets me so excited.
Choking on your alibis. Huh.
I like... That's like very poetic.
I like the lullaby alibi rhyme. I think it's just the bus sound that I'm just like, yeah, that's my shit.
It's just... I'm imagining now like someone giving me an alibi and me physically... Like them being like, oh, I was at the store. And me like... Oh.
Where's your homework?
My dog ate it.
God, that is funny. Yeah, really. I mean, I feel like he's kind of poetic, but then if you take it literally, it's so much funnier. And then, what is the price I pay? What is the price? The price is choking. The price is
I feel like it's like caring about this being painful to me is the price I pay for caring about this shit.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Oh, man, when he jumps up there, gets me so...
Price I pay!
That was really good.
Wait, it's off beat? I didn't even notice
it. Well, just like, because it's like, sick lullabies, bam, 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 bam. It would go, ba, 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 but he's like, ba, 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 like he holds it for just a little too long.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
This. When the synth comes in, it's so...
Musically, that is just such a dream for me.
It feels like he's fucking flying through space. It's so good.
Oh, yeah,
it's such a turn because it's all like, all this bad stuff, I can't bear it, da, da. And then it's like, destiny is calling me?
What the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's genuinely. Like,
hey, look, this sucks, but that's what happens.
He says, destiny is calling me, open up my eager eyes. Is that addressed to destiny? So he's like, hey, this is the way things are gonna be. So I guess like let me see it. Even though 1 second ago he was like, I can't look at this. Now he's like, let me look at it. And then he calls himself Mr. Brightside. Oh.
Maybe that's why he said I can't look. Like he's like, hey, I can't look at this future because it hurts so much. And he's like, fuck it. I'm gonna open up my eager eyes and look towards the
this
future.
Is the first time I've thought of the title of the song in this way. But is he saying Mr. Brightside, like I've gotta look on the bright side?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously. And the way he says it to me, I've always read it as like, because I'm Mr. Brightside, he's like, well, I'm the optimistic one, and it's like sarcastic. You know what I mean? Because always Mr. Brightside over here. I gotta find a silver lining. But now I'm like, well, maybe actually he's having a catharsis.
The way a lot of people look at the shit, like it's like it didn't work out, but that means there's another door. So destiny's calling me.
Right.
You know, it's not gonna work out with this guy or girl, whatever it is. But now this, you know, I gotta open up my eager eyes.
Well, dude, it's impossible to know because other than I never, those were the last words of the song. The second verse is an identical copy paste of the first verse.
Yeah, where he just sings in different ways.
It's the same exact fucking thing. So if that was like supposed to be this big like climax of the song, I don't know. Because he goes back and repeats the same goddamn thing.
What do we think of I never, I never, I never, I never?
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I like, never
is he
imagined...
an old southern woman? He's like, well, I never. Like, I don't know what the fuck he's saying.
I never.
Also, I had no idea those lyrics just repeated themselves until I was doing the punch up and I was like, wait a second. There's no more to go off of here.
That's another reason I don't like this song. It's just like half of a song.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of like an, I don't know if you guys know this dude, XXXTentacion song.
I know him.
He just his songs are like that too. They're all just half a song.
Funny enough, I had only heard one of his songs for the first time the other day. Uh-huh. Like all I know about him is the abuse shit.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. I'm just like, how are you still making? Anyway, he just does that.
Same exact thing. They're all lazy. Too short. Yeah, yeah.
Like if it's like poetic like license, like go nuts. But like in this case, like he was telling us this story and then he didn't totally end it. He's like, let's just hit him with it again.
I hate this because it's just like, this is when I'm just like, all right, then I'll just start a new song. If the second half of the song is the exact same as the first.
But to their credit, I never noticed until I read the lyrics. I never noticed.
Does he sing it differently enough
a
that
little
it feels...
bit. He changes like three notes. That's
he goes
it.
Like, just fine. Yeah. And like, it was only a kiss. It was only a kiss.
He literally just throws the phrasing of two sentences and that is it.
Yes, everything else is exactly the same.
Which actually is a perfect time for me to take a pee break and us to take an ad break.
Yay!
Nice.
We're back.
Hi!
This is not the first time I've heard this theory. And literally, as I was hearing this album for the first time, I heard the Annie, you're a star thing, which is straight up true. And then Noisy has an article where they spell out this entire theory. And they say about Mr. Brightside... In Mr. Brightside, Andy is having second thoughts. He's still with Jenny, he's a sports star, and if he breaks up with his girlfriend, his name will be splashed around town even more than it is already. He's not ready to make this leap into a relationship with a narrator and stays with her. Narrator's left jealous and devastated. He's coming out of his cage, and he's doing just fine. Why can't Andy do the same? He's having a smoke, Jenny's taking a drag, she's touching his chest, taking off her dress. Meanwhile, our narrator is left at home begging for Andy to open up his eager eyes and see that he really is Mr. Brightside.
I don't get what Mr. Brightside means.
That he is... it's like you have to look to your future, that you don't have a future with this girl. I'm the good.
So he's telling
Andy that he
to
is the bright side.
That's not how we use bright side, though. Like, that's not how that word means.
Correct.
Hey, look at me. I'm the bright side.
Which is why I think he made it Mr.
Brightside. That almost sounds like you're saying I'm a consolation prize.
Yeah.
You know, because it's usually like a negative. Look on the bright side.
Or maybe you've mispronounced the Sandra Bullock classic, The Blind Side.
I'm Mr. Blind Side.
Because I feel like if my friends call me Mr. Brightside, because people think I do this a lot where I kind of will like devil's advocate, like, but maybe they meant this, like trying to spin it in a good way, they would mean it as a negative thing. You're always fighting
Mr.
for the other side.
We get it.
Yeah.
The most like generous reading of that phrase that I can think of is he's saying like, look, things are going to be bad because that's what coming out will do for you being who you are, but I am also there, so look on the bright side. Me.
Oh, okay.
I just don't feel like that's what the lyrics say. I feel like some noisy person was like, I have got a pitch for you.
The rest of the album completely works with the theory, so I'm all on board.
They're like, hey, I got a degree in English literature. I know how to talk bullshit. Let's go.
That's what it sounds like to me. But I mean, the internet goes nuts. Like, there's a lot of pictures of people naked on the internet that aren't them.
If it were just this song they were basing it off of, I'd say that's crazy. But there's a confirmed theory about a girl that gets murdered, and there's a line, there was no motive for it in that song, because the rest of the album portrays the motive. So I'm just saying I'm all on board with this theory. I feel like I'm not the only one listening. It's like, I know that one, but anyway.
Have the Killers ever publicly commented on that theory?
No, but also, Brandon Flowers is super Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, do you think it's an allegory? He's gay?
Maybe. Whoa. Probably not.
Make it
I don't imagine that he would write an album where there's a thing to be unlocked about him being gay if
also,
he were.
Also, I just, the whole thing of it being like a rock opera on a first record, that's the thing that I'm really like. They said they wrote the song in 30 minutes. I don't think so. That sounds like that's something that would take a lot of time.
I feel like if you, it's like an outline. If you have an outline for something, then writing one part of it would be very easy.
Huh, well, maybe. If you also are a Killer's truther, tweet at Demi.
Please don't. Just tweet at the account.
I just like the idea that like there's so many things like this that someone just wrote in like 20 minutes and then they just hear all these like theories and they're like, what the fuck?
Honestly, though, it makes perfect sense that they wrote in 20 minutes because it is half a song.
Yeah. They didn't write a second verse or a bridge.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing. The bridge is never.
So do you want to go through the rest of the song or should we just skip it since it's all the damn
same? I'm trying
to
figure out what these other clips are.
I mean, the band brought it. They're like, we'll write another part.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not going to sing, though. Listen to the drums. That's crazy.
I vividly remember watching The Killers live, and the drummer is smiling all throughout most of their songs. He's just having the fucking time of his life doing these fills.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like musically, that drummer is like at least twice as good as every other band member. Like no, that drummer is incredible.
I feel like the musicians in The Killers are very good.
But nothing in the song screams that this is complicated except the drums, which are like kind of under everything else too. So he's just like chilling.
I think this is one of The Killers' least enjoyable songs.
Really?
It's so basic. Like that do-do-do-do-do-do-do is catchy, but it also goes through the entire song.
But that's probably what makes it their most popular song.
Absolutely. Because
they can connect to every single person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not, it's easy.
It's the lowest barrier of entry.
Yeah, it's like Doritos.
Yeah.
We get it.
We get it.
Yeah, let's...
We're not talking about our complicated chips, no, you know?
This isn't a Funyun.
Yeah. Nah, we're not doing like a fucking like barbecue, but like with whiskey in it.
Yeah.
Nah. Oh, yeah. You know they make Moscow Mule flavored chips?
Seems useless. I mean, I've had like...
They were very sweet.
I mean, they're going crazy with it these days in terms of like...
Chip flavors?
Yeah.
They have the chicken waffles one, which I feel like I'm the only one that likes, but... Yeah, they do go crazy.
I was just seeing how long I could leave you out to hang.
What's Matt Long?
No, we just were like, yeah, you're the only one who likes it.
I was like, look, I'm all more for me. And then I have the I never, but...
Do they put syrup in the chicken and waffle flavor?
I think so.
I feel like that'd be the only flavor. Because like, you can't make it taste like waffles.
But you can make it taste like chicken, though.
A little, but isn't
it's
it just
chicken
like
and
salt?
Syrup and butter.
Chicken and syrup and butter, yeah.
I've had a vegan chicken and waffles that, I won't lie, divine. I kind of get
crossroads.
I'm really interested in this technology, and I don't get it. But the idea that, like, have you seen that episode of Nathan For You where he makes the poop flavored yogurt?
Yeah.
So where they go to this flavor place?
Yeah.
How do they do
I
that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm so interested in it, but I also just because I'm like, what's the fucking craziest flavor? If you can make poo,
yeah, you can make any. That means they could do. But does it? Is it this reverse engineering thing where they have to like get the smell to funnel into something, and then it's like, computer's like,
you can't see Miniam's hands, but he's doing some like real Willy Wonka shit right now.
Like, I'm just like, how would they recreate it with that?
Someone had to eat shit, obviously.
Someone had to eat shit and then be like, its taste profile is a A32 B47. You know, like
getting notes of grass.
Yeah,
it's got a real fruity nose.
Well, it's got to be similar to like a printer where you have like four main colors or whatever, and then
now you're talking science. I don't know what we're doing.
Well,
I can't
and
keep
then
up
it's
with
like
this combo
with all these different like
infinite combinations of the same shit will eventually make
totally.
Yeah,
hey guys,
but
you
know
that
how.
Blue raspberry not a real thing.
Wow,
crazy, right? Where'd that flavor come from? Don't
makes
know.
Sense.
Does it even taste like raspberry? Nah.
I don't even know what raspberry tastes like.
Wait, what?
It just kind of tastes like cherry.
No,
slash...
have you never had a raspberry?
I've had because I just have frozen fruit that I make shit with, but it's just mixed like it's like blueberries and raspberries all together.
You never have a fresh raspberry
on its own.
No.
I think I have like in a fruit platter, but I couldn't tell you right now.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
That is. I'm like, I'm upset that Demi. I didn't know Killers was like his favorite band of all time.
Not what I said.
And then I'm 20 times more upset that Binium's never in his life tasted a raspberry.
I've had a raspberry. It's very much like this song where it's like, as soon as I taste one, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
That is you the know? Killers of the raspberries of the music world.
I would be able to
world.
Finish the rest of the raspberry.
But not without getting like some seeds stuck in your teeth.
They have seats.
There you go. Just like the Killers.
Woohoo.
Little spikes.
What did you say about the Killers, though? It's like dirty, though. They have seed. Gross.
Yeah, they like, that's cum, for sure.
Yeah.
And also, the Killers, I just put together, you said their first album was about killing someone. Their band name's the Killers.
Although, I think that's a reference to a Joy Division thing or something.
Well, I've always thought that about, like, so I knew what the Grateful Dead was, but I thought they were a metal rock. Like,
they sound like it, yeah.
Yeah, you hear Grateful Dead, and then you're, and then you hear their music, and you know, you're like, what?
There's so many bands like that where I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, I thought Fish was just like aquarium noises for fucking 10 hours. I was like, well, people are really into that, like, bubbler, man.
Okay, and I like this because they got that synth going, but besides that, whatever.
I never. I never.
You know, that really is the shit that resonates with people the most. When you have like a vague thing that anyone can apply to any of their own situations mm-hmm. with emotion, that's going to be huge. That's
you
all
can
you
just
need.
Sing along mindlessly.
I never.
Yeah.
I still think of my like Virginian grandmother being like, well, I never. Like, can't be like a Las Vegas man singing that.
I also, I don't remember why, but I clipped out the acapella for this part. I never.
Wow.
That's what it sounds like?
Yeah. Those breaths are so funny to me.
Well, you can hear the mix in his cans. That's funny. I never. Wow, that is compressed to hell.
Yeah.
I never. I also love like the very thin echo on it.
Did you have to put that through a thing to
take
it out?
No, I found the stems online.
Oh, okay.
So many things on the internet.
Wow, that's like sounds much more human when the music's in there.
Well, it's funny that like just imagining just standing in a room and him doing that is so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Just like hi there.
Also, it's really like a cry. Hi never.
Because he's upset.
I don't know. To me, it feels a little bit like a little boy like was like got some studio time booked and was like, just roll. I'm just going to, I never.
It's like, I wrote this in 20 minutes in the studio and what then my band was like, I
what
got
do we
music.
Think literally he's talking about with the I never?
I have no idea. Genuinely, even with the like the context that I'm pretty sure is what he's supposed to be, it doesn't
never
really make sense.
Came out of my cage.
No, but the top is like, come out of my cage.
Coming out of my cage. Coming out. So it's actively
he took one
happening.
One step,
step
out and then he stepped right back in.
Yeah.
I don't know what
it's
it
full
is.
Full circle.
Well, maybe actually, it is just like
it's a circular cage.
I can't. I did. I don't know.
I didn't do the thing that I'm talking about.
Maybe it's like I would never. I don't know.
Yeah, I never expected.
I never expect. That's probably it. Because people say that I never is like I never thought that.
Yeah.
I never thought that
you would do
my
that.
Own brain would betray me. I don't know. It doesn't really work for me to be honest. But the drums though, they work for me in a real big way.
Real good.
So. Any final thoughts on this tune?
You know, I'm going to have to give it a strong 9.8 out of 10.
Whoa, shit.
Very big fan.
We Whoa. Should rate these.
I you really came think, around.
Really think it's a great song. I came in not remembering it existed, left being like, I know all the words, plus three interpretations. So, big fan.
It does like hold up strangely. Yeah. If you just look past the lyrics, like it's a song you can just put on and kind of works in any mood. Mm-hmm. You're angry, it works. You're happy, it works. You're sad, it works.
Yeah.
Funeral, sure. Throw it on. See what happens.
I feel like I still am just like, eh.
I feel like if this came on at like a dance area, whether that be like a wedding or a club or whatever the fuck, people would lose their fucking minds.
And you know how many times people have been like driving in their car like mm-hmm. away from their shitty job and they're just like, I never. Yeah, like that. So many people have connected.
I feel like I would dance to it, but I would still the entire time just be like, man, I wish this was any other song. Like even outside of just the as a killer song, I'm just kind of like, eh. Huh. I feel like the synth, when that synth comes in, I love it. And then when it goes back, I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care at all about this.
Huh. All right.
I feel that.
All right. Fair enough. You know, fair enough. Now we move on to the punch-up.
Sure do.
Which I did.
Yes, you did.
I'm so excited to hear this.
So I'm not going to tell you too much because the song will tell you. But I will say that what I ran with was the coming out of my cage part. Because that always has stood out to me and never made sense. So I wanted it to make sense.
All right.
So I made it make sense.
Okay.
Coming out of my cage, cause the lid was left off. Gotta get down so I can find some food. It started out with a pat. I wish she gave me more pats. I want only her pats. I want only her pats. Now I'm in the kitchen and she's calling a cab while I'm eating the crumbs from her Trader Joe's bag. Now she's turning the key and boy, I can't wait. And then she opens the door. She's brought a dude.
Mr. Brightside, you know?
It's true. Yeah. It would be an animal.
Yeah.
It's a gerbil. And it's her gerbil.
That's a great read.
Just say it. Makes sense.
Staying inside my cage because what is the point? Gotta be down because I am depressed. It started
Damn.
Out with one night, but then it became more. I don't know how to count. I don't know how to count. Now he's here all the time. She laughs way too much, and I hide in my tube and forget human touch. Now they start touching lips, and my stomach is sick. I try to bury myself, but wood chips don't muffle sound. She keeps saying yes now, let me go. I just can't.
That was great. Wow.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I was really into, it had better writing than the original song. It had two verses.
I'm worried already. About this Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, this Mr. Brightside, he's depressed. He's wishing
because he thought his owner and him were in love. Yeah. And then he realized he's just a gerbil.
He wants to die.
And now he wants to die. But to his credit, he will be dead soon. Gerbils don't live a long time.
To his credit, he is being kept prisoner in a cage.
So I'm saying she's cuckolding him by force.
Yeah. I don't blame him. I don't blame any pet that wants to die, to be real.
I blame some owners.
Yeah. That's who you blame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty tragic tune. But I mean, what else is it going to be? Mr. Brightside in a cage? Come on. That's clearly an animal
He's
that's
been
jealous.
Doing just fine.
No, he hasn't been doing just fine.
Well, this one has not been.
Nah, he only got out of his cage because the lid was left
this
off.
He's trying to fucking kill himself.
Yeah, he's trying to.
I like the taxonomy. What did it rhyme with? Just cause my taxonomy.
I don't remember. Line. I wrote it like a fever dream.
You wrote it as fast as they wrote the original.
Pretty much.
Maybe it took longer.
There's something very, what's the word? Humbling about working on a cover version or parody version, I should say, of a song in which you're pretending to be a gerbil. You know,
yeah.
Really brings you right back down to earth.
That's true.
Sometimes I'm like, man, we should document making these punch-ups because these are fucking absurd. The shit we've
behind
done is
the punch
absolutely
up, the
insane. Like maybe in the context of the podcast, you're like, ah, it's funny. But then like when you actually watch us in our apartments, be like,
run it back. It needs more drums.
Every time I have to record any vocal, I'm just like, I wait for my roommate to leave because I'm like, I'm not fucking doing this while he's here.
Have you ever been around when like a producer is like working with a rapper or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how, like, they'll keep on running back apart a bunch of times and being mm-hmm. like, no, this doesn't sound right. It needs more. Like, do you do that with your... Oh, okay.
God, no.
You're not really doing anything with the instruments. It's just all vocals for the most part.
Sometimes, but no. This one, I just found an instrumental track and downloaded it.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I'm not going to, like, go through and be like, oh, yeah, I got to punch in that vocal. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I do.
You do more of that?
Yeah, which I don't need to, but...
It makes it better.
Not really. It makes me feel better, which is what really matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
There's like a certain level of like cringe where you're like, if it's like half-assed, it's too cringeworthy. If you're going to do it, you got to fully
do
it.
Yeah, because if it's a good parody, it has to sound like it's almost the real
same
thing. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I'm fine with my voice sounding bad, but like the effects on it, I'm like, well, I want to match that.
Yeah.
Which is dumb.
Did you notice I did the telephone effect on the first one?
Yeah. I noticed.
Man, that was a weird one. I don't know how you push that up other than that, to be honest. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
I think
you make it straight.
I mean, yeah. You made it about a straight gerbil. And you also, like, just added a second verse, which by its very nature punched it up.
Thank
Congrats.
You. Thank
That's
you so
all
much.
You need to do to punch
I'd say
it up.
Success. Yeah. We punched it up. That's better. I mean, you know, I don't know if you're into, like, gerbil play, but...
Not Richard Gere.
Oh, nice callback.
Richard Gere have a...
There was an
urban
like
legend
a,
forever.
Yeah, which I don't know how it started, but
they
is
do it on
so...
South
is it,
Park
is it
a
is it an internet thing?
It's, like, kind of pre-internet, almost.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was that he, like, put gerbils up his ass.
And then it's all fake, right?
I mean, I'm pretty
Presumably,
sure. I'm pretty sure that's not real. I'm pretty sure.
What a poor, like, I'm sure the day he found out that rumor, he's like, what? No! How?
And the thing is, if you deny it, it just sounds like you did it even more so.
Yeah.
Poor Richard Gere. Well, this song's for you, Richard Gere, about the gerbil that got away.
Yeah.
Okay, now we ready for our fucking punchable jams?
You can't punch this.
Video!
Yes,
you want to kick us off with a song you think is really great.
Okay, so when I was in college, I was really into the whole acoustic kind of, like I mentioned before, I think before the podcast started, that first concert I went to was Jack Johnson.
Uh-huh.
I was still into that in the beginning of college, and I got really into Dispatch.
Oh,
you guys know Dispatch?
Yeah, I've seen the others.
Yes, that's the song.
The General?
That, I learned to play it on guitar. I played it a shitload in college for whenever, like, I would play it for, like, people would be like, ooh, play guitar. I'd be like, yeah, I can play this. Yeah. There was a decorated general with the heart of gold, the leg of him, to all the stories he told. And it tells this whole story about this general on the battlefield, and he realizes war is dumb. He tells the young people to go home because they should see their mother. And I thought it was so deep and powerful. I'm like, yeah, anti-war.
But if you could shred that little intro, that sounds impressive as hell.
Yeah, I could do that.
I really thought that was like a bro thing.
Yeah, I was broed out then.
You were bro-y?
Without even knowing, I think.
Really?
I don't think I like.
I feel like there was just a period of time where those people had their hooks in everyone and people just didn't want to admit it. So it's like, I don't know if that's you being a bro as much as it was just like, they fucking nailed
it. It was like Ben Harper, Jack Johnson.
Oh, man, that was all I listened
Dispatch,
to. Dispatch. Yeah.
That group and that song, The General, is the one that like still stands out. It's like, I still think that's a good song.
It's a good story, man. It's a good-ass story song. Good call, bro. That was good.
It was a good story song.
Tell me, what about you, buddy?
Well, so someone on Twitter said something about picking unpunchable jams that are from the same year as the song, and I was
which
like,
annoyed me because I've done that like 10 times.
I think they were talking specifically to me.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, I'll take that challenge on. So for this one, in a similar vein as you, I went with a song that I listened to in this same era. Well, so I found The Killers while they were just about to release their like third album, Day and Age. But when this album came out, I was listening to Green Day, who has the fucking American Idiot, which was my shit. In
record
2004.
Or song?
It was a good song.
The record.
Yeah.
The thing is, the song, I was like, this is fine. I think it's a little overplayed. I don't like it as much as the rest of the album.
Yeah.
But the song Jesus of Suburbia, been listening to more this week. It's fucking great.
I think that record holds up.
It does. It won the Grammy, and I think it deserves it. And I think it is still like peak of pop punk. But it's a story song. It's like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, the whole album's like basically
it's a rock
extended
opera.
Bohemian Rhapsody. I feel like actually we're kind of overdue for that in the current age.
I would love another thing like that. And another great thing about this album, like my Unpunchable is specifically Jesus of Suburbia, but this album has two songs like that, mm-hmm. where it's like there are five movements in it and it's 9 minutes long. Wow. And they're both very good. And I've been listening to this album a lot recently because I was like, oh, I loved it. And then I listened to it, like, I still love all of these.
That's
songs.
A good pick, dude. I agree with that one. I actually agree with both of them, although a Dispatch song, I haven't thought about that in a minute.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
If you heard the guitar, fun. You might recognize it. All right, so I'm choosing a song that, in my mind, fits in the same category. I feel like alternative rock, indie, whatever, has kind of been my bread and butter since, like, 2002, probably. It's been, like, my main genre that I listen to, and that's still true now. So I feel like by just choosing within that genre, I'm being very generous to myself because I listen to so much music in that genre. So I want to choose one that I have been into recently, and that is Arcade Fire's Creature Comfort. Yeah, that record like wasn't nearly as good as The Suburbs, but that song, man, it just gets me hyped. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, I think they did that song on SNL.
They did, which good is odd memory. Since it came out like a year ago.
Yeah, I think they literally just went on SNL because Bill Hader asked them to.
Really?
Yeah.
Binium, where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at BiniumBiz, BiniumBiz.
That's good that you spell it. And also I like the double meaning of like, it's your biz and also it's the first part of your last name.
I mean, that's what I thought of when I came up with my last name, actually. No, I bought the URL for binium.biz, but I haven't.
That's smart.
I haven't like made it yet though.
Well, but you're gonna. It's gonna be popping up.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta check back because you got some good shit coming up, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on our pod.
Thank you for doing this.
Such a special talk about a song you don't even really know.
Thank you so much for having me. So fun. And you guys had kombucha on tap. What?
Shout out HeadGum. It's amazing.
Everything's here.
Shout out HeadGum. Shout out kombucha. Shout out Demi. Shout out Meal. Oh, thank you.
And if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Punch Up the Jam on everything. If you have suggestions for songs to punch up, email them to us at punchupthejam@gmail.com. And that's kind of all I had to say.
Miel is at Miel.
Oh, yeah.
I am at Electro Lemon.
It's for such a delight to hear you say that.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Just the timbre of your voice when you say it just like warms my heart.
Oh, it's going down. I'm talking timbre.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.